I want to read to you today a passage from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews is one of those books that has a lot, and it's sometimes difficult to process all of it. So today we'll be looking at verses 18 through 28. Of chapter 12. Let us pray before we do that. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity to now read your word and to hear your message. May your spirit enable us to be open, willing to receive your word, willing to let it speak to us and transform us. God, our prayer is that your spirit will remove any obstacle that might hinder us as we now await your message, and we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 12, verse 18. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given, if even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who's speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord. So last week we looked at another passage from Hebrews 12, and we talked about the race that is before us. That the Christian life of faith is really like a race, a long and arduous and a rigorous race. And how we can run this race better by looking toward Jesus, who's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So today we're looking at another passage in Hebrews 12. And so let me see, how many of you like to travel? Seems like almost everybody except John. So do you remember how planning a trip used to be much different before the internet and smartphones arrived, right? In those days when you planned a vacation or trip, you'd go down to the local auto club and pick up a stack of maps and guidebooks and brochures about a potential destination. And if it wasn't the auto club, then it was the travel agent, right? Because every strip mall used to have a little travel office. And you would book something, but you wouldn't necessarily see a photo of the place. or be able to read some customer reviews or get a lot of information, you were almost flying blind when you think about it. Only when you got to the destination did you really know what you got yourself into. Did anybody ever have a bad experience when you arrived and it was not exactly what you were looking for? So today, of course, we don't plan trips this way anymore. The internet changed all of that. So we book our own airline tickets and hotels and Airbnbs. We use websites to see pictures and read reviews. And one of those websites is called TripAdvisor. I'm not sure if you've ever used it. But you can use it to book a particular hotel or flight or rent a car. And you also can get advice from a forum and look at dozens of user pictures of the places you want to go to. And you can read lots of customer reviews before you make a decision on a particular destination. I mean, in the end, you still have to go there and experience it for yourself. But before that, you can get a lot of valuable information, and you certainly don't have to fly blind when you decide on your next travel destination. The TripAdvisor logo is an owl, and I'm sure you've seen it. The owl is a classic symbol of wisdom. But I don't know if you have ever noticed that the owl's eyes are two different colors. How many of you have noticed that before? One of them is red and the other one is green. So do you know why that is? Yeah, the two colors symbolize the way us travelers choose where to go. Green, yes, this looks like a good choice. I'd like to go there. Or red, no, not a good choice. Don't think I'm going there. So you see, choosing wisely is an art form that can make all the difference in the quality of the journey. It's true for when you travel. It's also true when it comes to your life. And so when we look at our passage, the writer of Hebrews gives us a kind of TripAdvisor review of two different destinations. The old Exodus trip to Mount Zion and the more sublime trip to the heavenly Jerusalem. And the author gives us good advice for putting together a trip to the ultimate destination. Because you see, the whole Bible is really the story of a journey. A journey that begins in the first Eden and ends in the second. In Genesis, in the Bible, in the beginning, we encounter a man who leaves his home, travels to a country that he knows nothing about, does it by faith. He acts on faith alone. Didn't get any advice from AAA or TripAdvisor or whatever. And so Abram and his family trekked from Ur to Canaan. And then he took a side trip to Egypt and then came back again. His grandson Jacob also went to Egypt, not to see the great pyramids under construction, but to be reunited with his long-lost son Joseph. And centuries later, Jacob's descendants journeyed from Egypt into the wilderness. And then Moses led them out of slavery, and 40 years later, they landed in what they called the Promised Land. And in this case, there were a number of reviews, mostly negative at first, but then Joshua and Caleb brought back positive reviews. And the emerging nation pushed on to the Jordan River. And still centuries later, their descendants were unwillingly carted off to Babylon, where they lived in exile. And about 70 years later, they were allowed to return to the land of Israel. So lots and lots of traveling. And then there's Jesus. He traveled as well. He was on a journey to Jerusalem and then to certain death on a cross. And so here in Hebrews 12, we have the same journey motif. Here it's about our journey as Christians, the journey of God's people, of the church, because we are on a stopover in a strange land. Because as a believer, you probably understand that the world is not your permanent home. It's only temporary. As believers in Christ, our true citizenship is in heaven. And we're traveling to heaven. We're traveling to what the Bible calls the New Jerusalem. Before we get there, however, we have to do a red-green comparison, like TripAdvisor clients would do. So here in verses 18 to 24, the writer makes a contrast between two journeys. Talks about the quality of Israel's physical and material journey to an encounter at God, with God at Mount Sinai during the Exodus. And he compares that with the quality of the spiritual journey as Christians make toward encountering God in the new heavenly Jerusalem. So he says in verse 22, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Mount Zion, a physical destination. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, a spiritual destination. And what we see is that the reviews on the first journey to Mount Zion reveal a sense of fear and foreboding, while the other one, the heavenly Jerusalem, is a destination that gets 5 stars every time. And so again, what the writer of Hebrews is doing is he's comparing the two journeys. The journey in the desert after the Exodus didn't get great reviews from the Israelites. It says in verse 18, "The journey to Mount Sinai via the desert was towards something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them." Sounds like, you know, it wasn't a good experience for them. It's not the kind of description you want to see in a TripAdvisor review. And the Israelites heard the voice of God at Sinai, and it terrified them so much that they begged for it to stop. They weren't allowed to touch the mountain. The sight was so frightening that even their leader Moses said he shook with fear. And so this was a journey where access to God was restricted. It's like planning, you know, a trip to a dream destination and only to find out when you get there that the place is closed. Like the Griswolds, right? Discovering a padlocked Wally World after an awful journey to get there in National Lampoon's Vacation. So what happened at Mount Sinai? God gave them the law through Moses. And even though it gave them specific directions for how to live, it didn't provide a way for them to overcome their sin for good. And so as a result, they were still prone to wander and prone to complain and prone to fall short of the destination of being forgiven. Even when they reached the promised land, they were still searching for the ultimate destination. They were still blocked from full access to a holy God by their sin and by the curtain in the temple that separated them from God's holiness. A curtain only Jesus could tear down, remember. I mean, this trip was necessary. It was a step along the road to full access to God. Just as you can't really appreciate a good hotel until you have something with which to compare it. And so the writer of Hebrews describes the journey of Israel and the giving of the law as an experience that needed, I guess you could say, an upgrade. An upgrade that was freely offered through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary. A vitally important stop for us along the way to the heavenly Jerusalem. But here's the thing though, in order to really appreciate that upgrade, you need to know what sin is. Because you can't overcome sin or appreciate forgiveness of sin if you don't know what it is. So sin is a word or a deed or a desire in opposition of the eternal law of God. It's missing the mark of God's holy standard of perfection. And before you can deal with your sin, I think we all need to know that God is serious about dealing with sin. We need to realize that God is holy, that God is just. He's not your buddy. He won't tolerate sin. And so before you can worship Him, you need to understand that He is set apart, that He is holy. And God had to put in some red lights to keep the people of God from choosing poorly. So He gave them the law at Mount Sinai until He could give them the ultimate green light by coming in person in the form of Jesus and saving them from sin once and for all as a sacrifice on the cross. And so thankfully for us, the death and resurrection of Jesus opened the way for not only God's chosen people, but all people who believe in Him for their salvation to reach the destination of the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So we have these two reviews in Hebrews 12. Going to Sinai? Well, expect to find fear and darkness and gloom and tempest. Okay, maybe we'll try something else. Oh, here's something interesting. It's called the heavenly Jerusalem. Looks like we might have some powerful experiences and see some incredible sights there. Look at this. Hebrews describes this destination this way. This is the city of the living God, where thousands and thousands of angels have come to celebrate. Here you will find all God's dearest children, whose names are written in heaven. And you will find God Himself, who judges everyone. Here also are the spirits of those good people who have been made perfect. And Jesus is here. He's the one who makes God's new agreement with us. And His sprinkled blood says much better things than the blood of Abel. That's what the ultimate destination is like for those who persevere, for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. So you're ready to travel. I mean, you can read the reviews, and that's one thing, but is it enough to just read the review? No, I don't think so. To experience the destination, you have to actually go there. You have to get into action, do something to get there. And so it says in verse 25, make sure that you obey the one who speaks to you. The people did not escape when they refused to obey the one who spoke to them at Mount Sinai. Do you think you can possibly escape if you refuse to obey the one who speaks to you from heaven? When God spoke the first time, His voice shook only the earth. This time, He's promised to shake the earth once again and heaven too. So, you see, we need to hear the voice of God. We need to listen to His voice, obey His voice, His words. We can't turn a deaf ear to them because we won't get away with it. The consequences are there for those who reject God's word. And so we need to listen to God. And not only should we listen to God, but we should also express our thanks to Him. It says in verse 28, we should be grateful that we are given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in this kingdom, we please God by worshiping Him and by showing Him great honor and respect. He says, do you see what we've got? Because of our faith in God, because of what Jesus has achieved for us on the cross, because of our relationship with Christ, we have an unshakable kingdom. He says, and do you see how thankful we should be because of that? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God, offering God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. I mean, sometimes, you know, we take for granted this time, this opportunity to be in worship. Sometimes we just go through the motions and we forget who it is we're meeting with during this sacred hour. We're meeting with our holy and almighty God. And it's not to be taken lightly. It says God is a consuming fire. So as we travel towards the city of the living God, as we journey through this life on our way to our ultimate destination, the heavenly Jerusalem, we need to know that listening to God and offering our thanksgiving are vital. Obedience and grateful worship will allow us to get the full experience on this adventure we call the Christian life. And yes, the Christian life is a tough journey. A life of faith does not remove the pain and the suffering that are part of our existence. And the race before us is indeed long and hard, and the journey is rough. I mean, it's not easy. But the destination is more than worth it. It's the one destination where all the reviews will be spectacular. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You that You made it possible for us to be assured of, to reach the final destination of the New Jerusalem, the city of the living God. And it's all made possible not because we are able to obey any of the laws You gave. It's not that we are, because we're able to obey perfectly to love You and love our neighbor. But it's all because Your Son fulfilled those requirements for us on the cross. And through Him and through faith in Him, we have forgiveness of sins. And the path is cleared. And we can be on this journey with the final destination of being with You. We thank You for that this morning. And as we journey through life, we pray for Your presence and that we will always come into Your presence with reverence and awe and with heartfelt gratitude for who you are and what you have achieved for us through your Son Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.